Congregation, our text for this evening's message comes from the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 5, where we'll read from verse 13 through to the end of chapter 6. Reading then from chapter 5, verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face on the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before him." So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord." And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the Ark while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout." So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets blew continually. In the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned into the camp. So they did for 6 days. On the 7th day they rose early at dawn of day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted to them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, and with the edge of the sword. But the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her." So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Joshua laid an oath on them at the time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord be the man who rises up and rebuilds this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn shall he lay its foundation, and at the cost of his youngest son shall he set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was with all in the land. Congregation, this story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho was one of the most famous and best known in the Bible. What has happened in the first five chapters is in many ways preliminary to this chapter and this event. This is where the action really happens. As I'm sure some of you will know, this well-known story is associated with the famous song about the Battle of Jericho. It is a Negro spiritual that says, "Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down." It is a great song, but we must make a significant correction. Joshua did not fight the Battle of Jericho. No, the Lord did. The Lord fought the battle, and he made the walls come tumbling down. This is the point emphasized throughout this chapter. The Lord himself stresses this in chapter 6, verse 2. "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." Everything that happens in this story focuses on this. God is fighting for his people. The Lord wants them to grasp this at the beginning of their campaign to take the land. He wants to encourage them as they start off on their warfare and conquest. He gives them great encouragement with a remarkable display of mighty power. And so as we look at how the Lord was fighting for his people, we want to consider three things: God's powerful commander, God's unorthodox method, and God's sovereign purposes. And so firstly then, God's powerful commander. Joshua, as we know, was not a novice when it came to doing battle and fighting. He was a seasoned commander. As an experienced soldier, he wanted to know what he was up against, and so he went out near Jericho to assess the situation. And when he was near the city, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Naturally, since he was close to the enemy city, he wanted to know who this man was. And so he went up and he asked him, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" The man said, "Neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And from this reply, Joshua immediately recognized that this was no ordinary person, and he fell face down to the ground in reverence. And so, who was this commander? This whole scene reminds us of the time that the Lord appeared to Moses in the desert in a burning bush. At that time, the Lord gave Moses instructions about the task that he was about to begin. This time, the Lord gives instructions to Joshua as he begins his task. In both cases, the Lord warns that they are standing on holy ground. There are other times that the Lord appeared to the people in the Old Testament in the form of a man. One clear example is when the Lord and two angels visited Abraham to tell him that he would have a son. Another time is when the Lord stood in the middle of the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In all of these situations, it is the Messiah who appears to these people, the pre-incarnate Christ. That is the second person of the Trinity before he became man. Here was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God appearing to Joshua. He was the commander of the army of the Lord. And he appears to Joshua because this was going to be his battle. He said, "I have now come." The Psalms often use this phrase to describe the coming of the Messiah. In Psalm 40, verse 7, we read, "Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll." Here too the Messiah announces his arrival to Joshua, "I have come." And he had come to take charge of the battle. Joshua was the earthly commander of the army, but now the heavenly commander had arrived. Joshua recognizes that he is speaking to his superior. He says, "What messages does my Lord have for his servant?" He would be taking his orders from the supreme commander. This also explains the strange answer to the question, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" The Lord said, "Neither." He said that because he was not fighting for them. No, they were fighting for him. He was the commander. He was in charge. It was his battle. And this is still true today. Jesus is a risen and ascended king. He is the commander of the army of God. He is the Lord of hosts, the King Almighty. And because of his position, the Lord could give his assurance. "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." Chapter 6, verse 2. The Lord describes it as something that has already happened. In Hebrew, it is a perfect verb, "I have delivered." God could give them the victory. It was not something that they would do or achieve in their own strength. This was the work of God. The appearance of Christ, the commander, was a reminder that this was a spiritual battle. This wasn't just the case of Israel fighting Jericho. It wasn't simply a matter of swords and spears and javelins. No, there was far more to it than that. This was not just a struggle against flesh and blood. It was a struggle against the evil and wickedness, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Joshua needed to realize that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. The hymn writer captured this idea when he wrote, stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Brothers and sisters, today we are still fighting a spiritual battle. We are fighting against abortion in the hospitals, lies in politics, selfishness in families, unfaithfulness in marriage, dishonesty in business, evolution in biology, false philosophies in schools and polytechs and universities. In our battle and our conflict, we can draw courage and strength from the knowledge that the Lord Almighty is the commander of his church and the king of his kingdom. He will fight for us. And this comes through clearly in our second point, in God's unorthodox method. The people of Israel had crossed the Jordan River opposite the city of Jericho. They were camped at Gilgal on the plains of the Jordan. Immediately to the west, there was a long line of hills. Jericho guarded the base of an old riverbed that formed an access into the hills, and Ai guarded the top of this access. If Israel could gain control of these two cities, it would give them control of that route and of the top of the hill country and allow them to expand north and south from that wedge. Jericho was not a large city, only about 7 acres in all. But it was a very strong fortress. It had large stores of grain and was well placed to resist both an attack and a siege. It was well defended, and it had high walls, and it was tightly locked up. No one went out, and no one went in. Without the help of the Lord, the Israelite army would have had to fight this in a conventional style. They could have settled down for a long siege to starve the people out. Or they could have tried scaling the walls with ladders. Or they could have tried battering down the gate. Or they could have attempted to tunnel under the walls. But God had another plan. He told them to march around the walls in silence, except for 7 priests who would blow the trumpets of ram's horns. The procession was led by an armed guard. Following them were 7 priests blowing their trumpets. After them came the Ark of the Covenant, carried by the priests on their shoulders, symbolizing the presence of God. After them came a rear guard, and then all the people. On the first day, they marched around the city once. Because the city was small, the head of the procession would have been heading back to camp by the time the tail had begun to march around the wall. The procession would encircle the whole city. They were to do this for 6 days, and then on the 7th day they were to go around 7 times. And then at the end of the 7th, they were to shout. This is a very peculiar way of waging war, but they followed the command of God and they marched around the city. Who knows what the citizens of Jericho thought? We do not know. We do know that they were scared. It says that in verse 1 of chapter 6 and chapter 5. On the seventh day, after the seventh circuit, the people shouted and the Lord made the walls collapse. It must have made a huge noise, and it would have been a terrifying sight. The Hebrew word means that the walls collapsed in its place. They did not fall out or fall in. It collapsed straight down. People have come up with various explanations for this, but we have to say that this was clearly an act of God. This was a miracle. There was a message in this for Israel, and also a message for us. At the beginning of their campaign, God wanted to teach them a lesson in dependence. They had to rely on His power. He would win the battle. He would give them victory. And this is a vital lesson for us as well, brothers and sisters. We are always tempted to rely on our own might, on our own cleverness and our schemes and our ideas. We think we can work it out. We can achieve our goals. We can solve our problems. We can cause the church to grow. But we cannot do anything on our own. We are weak and feeble. We need to remember that whenever anything powerful and effective happens in the church, whenever a person comes to faith in Christ, whenever someone grows in grace and goodness, all this is God's work. God may use us as instruments in His hands, but it is not our work, it is His. Therefore, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. God also wanted to teach them a lesson in faith. They had to believe that God could do this. They had to follow His unorthodox method, and they had to do what He commanded them to do. And God honored their faith. This is a lesson drawn out by the writer of Hebrews. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Brothers and sisters, we need to have the same faith today. Sometimes we might think that we can do better than God. We might think His methods are archaic or outdated. Some suggest we forget studying the Bible, instead have sharing groups. Others propose that we dispense with preaching and worship and show videos. But we need to believe in God's power, and we need to use His methods. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. God also wanted to impress on them the lesson about obedience. He explained exactly how He wanted them to take the city and precisely what they should do with what was in the city. We'll look at this lesson more in another sermon, but we should note that God wanted them to follow His commands. So we've considered God's powerful commander and His unorthodox method. And now we consider, thirdly, God's sovereign purposes. If a director today were to make a movie of the capture of Jericho, he would concentrate on the fighting and the battle. But this is not the interest of the biblical writer. He describes the actual battle in less than 3 verses. He doesn't want us to focus on the battle, but on its meaning. Jericho was destroyed as an act of judgment. And that is why the people of Israel were not allowed to take any of the spoils for themselves. They were not in this for money. They weren't taking the city for the loot. They were taking it for God. This was a holy war, a religious battle. Jericho was destroyed as an act of God's wrath. It was to remain destroyed as a symbol and a reminder of the judgment of God. And that is why Joshua cursed any attempts to rebuild it. That curse was fulfilled in the time of Ahab, when Hiel of Bethel rebuilt the city. 1 Kings 16 verse 34 tells us that he laid its foundations at the cost of his firstborn son, Abiram, and he set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub, in accordance with the word of the Lord spoken by Joshua, son of Nun. Again, we'll explore this theme of God's judgment in more detail in later sermons, but we need to note that this judgment and others like it are recorded here as warnings for us. Each of these anticipates the final judgment that is going to come when Jesus returns. Each one of us will have to stand before the judgment throne of God and give account of our faith and life. Be sure that you are ready for that day. But God also acted in mercy. He spared Rahab and her family. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. She believed in God's power, and she appealed to his mercy. She believed that God could rescue her from the judgment brought on those who were disobedient. And so God honored her faith. God saved her. She became part of the people of Israel and was living among them at the time that this book was written. God showed his loving kindness to this woman who was lost in sin. The good shepherd went after one lost lamb and in his grace gathered in her family as well. This reminds us that the mercy of God is available today. The good news about Jesus is being proclaimed throughout the world and each person is called to respond. Those who believe in him and trust in his saving death will not be condemned, but will have eternal life. And brothers and sisters, this brings us back to the main theme of this chapter. The Lord is in control of this world. It was he who fought the battle of Jericho. It was he who brought the walls tumbling down. It was he who destroyed the people of Jericho for their sin and disobedience. It is he who one day judged the world in justice. He is the all-powerful God. Believe in his power, fear his judgment, and trust in his mercy. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this timely reminder of your power and your majesty. Lord, so often we do try to go on our own steam, that we think we can solve all things, that we are strong enough to live on and deal with all the problems of the world. Yet this is another example, Lord, why we need to place our faith and our hope and our trust in you, our loving God. Father, we thank you for your word We thank you for these words of encouragement, and we pray, O Lord, that we may consider them in the hours and the days ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.